Heavenly Father, we come and we're so grateful for you, Lord. We're so grateful that you love us, Lord, that you love us enough to come and encourage us when we're struggling. You know those struggles that nobody else does. And yet, you don't reject us. Instead, you draw us back. You don't reject us. You try to woo us back. You will send an individual to come and warn us if we need to be warned. But we give you all thanks, Lord, and we give you all praise. And we today said, Lord, we're all in. Lord, we're all in. No more deliberating. No more one foot in, one foot out. Lord, we declare today that we are all in. Do with us what brings you pleasure. Do with us what will bring you glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen, amen. Go ahead and turn to Romans. We're going to be in the third chapter. We're going to finish up Romans 3. If you haven't been here for all the sermons, get online or get on our app and listen to those as you're I don't know, doing something around the house. But last week we saw how the Apostle Paul, he, like a good prosecutor, he put together a pretty good case. I would say an airtight case about sin. And basically what he was saying is this, that all of humanity is in the same boat. He says all have sinned. All. And he doesn't live any wiggle room at all, right? But all have sinned and they fall short of God's glory, of God's standard. That's where everybody's at. And so really what he's saying, that apart from Jesus, right, man is trapped in sin and he needs to be rescued. And so the key to all of Romans, we find in Romans 16, verse 17, which I'm going to review. We've covered this before, but here is why really Romans was written to believers, to Jews that were in the city of Rome. The Apostle Paul says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel or the good news. You understand that Jesus is about good news. Everything is about good news. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now he tells us why. For it is the power of God at work. So whenever the gospel is shared, something in the spiritual realm begins to happen. It happened in my life. When someone shared the gospel with me, all of a sudden I had really an insight as to, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. I mean, before that time, I thought I was a cool guy. I never knew it was sin until someone shared the gospel. And then, my goodness, maybe I shouldn't live the way I live. And that happens, what he's talking about. It is the power of God really at work to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Verse 17, for in it, talking about the gospel, God's plan, for in it is the righteousness of God, or basically the instructions on how to get right with God, which is revealed from faith to faith, meaning from start to finish, as it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. That's you and I, we're about faith. This journey is about faith. And sometimes we wonder, well, God, just show me. Just show me. You know why he doesn't show you? Because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. You know, the disciples got all, you know, they're like all wigged out on what the Lord has shown me. He's like, man, you're getting all excited about that? He goes, what if I really show you heavenly stuff? What if I began to show you the things that you don't even see, you couldn't handle. And so a lot of what we do is faith. But even he also knows something about humans, that even if he shows us, we still are pretty skeptical and we won't believe it. You know why? Because he has shown himself. Here in this holy book is really a documentation throughout history of when he's shown himself. That's what this holy book is. And then you and I, we can look at time after time after time after time where he's answered prayer. So why do we doubt that he might answer prayer? You and I have enough history with him that we shouldn't doubt, but yet we do. So he's like, oh my gosh, you don't even get the little I've shown you. How are you going to handle the rest that I'm going to show you? But he still wants to show you some more. And so he says, this life that you and I will live is by faith. Last week, we talked about God's plan to make man right with him. And there's three words that we looked at. I gave you some working knowledge. They're really whole doctrines. I mean, I could do a whole year in each one of them. But I give you working definitions. When it comes to salvation, these are terms you have to be familiar with. Number one, the first one we looked at was justification. And I told you that when you're talking about justification, you got to be thinking in terms of a courtroom. And I gave my experience, my whole career I spent in court. And so justification is when God makes a declaration and he declares someone righteous, someone innocent, someone just, someone free, not because you are, but because of what Jesus did. It's always about Jesus and what he did, but that's still the declaration he makes. And that settles it, right? That's who you are because of what Jesus did. And then we looked at another word, redemption. And I told you, in that word, you got to look in terms of like a slave market, you know, where someone is in the slave market being sold or being really maybe condemned. And so here comes Jesus, right? And he sets us free, because redemption means to redeem or to deliver by paying a price. What price was paid and who paid it? And it's liberation. You and I were set free to stay free. So if you're here tonight and you would say, you know, Pastor, I feel kind of enslaved to some of that old stuff, you got to understand it's not the Lord that is enslaving you. Most likely you're enslaving yourself. And so he made you to be free. And I tell you what, I love free. I love free. You know, I've never done any time, any hard time. I've never done any time. But I tell you what, if I was set free, chances are I'd like sprint out of there, I would think. And that's really what he wants to do. He wants us to live free and stay free and cut out anything of our life that might come and try to enslave us. And then we looked at the third word, propitiation, which is really a word talking about sacrifice or covering, a satisfaction, right? A payment, an appeasement for sin. And Scripture says that propitiation, really the substitute for us, was Jesus. He is the one that, because of what he did, he appeased God. Whatever, he came and paid, as it were, the debt that needed to be paid. There was a debt that had to be paid. Otherwise, God, his righteousness is not satisfied. And so that debt was paid. And so what we're looking at is the Apostle Paul. He's going to ask some rhetorical questions now. He's kind of going to be talking about faith. Remember, there's, as you read Romans, it's as if somebody's asking the Apostle Paul questions or objections, and he's answering them. I love to do all that. I love to do that all the time. You know, I love a good skeptical question. If it's an honest skeptic, you know, when I worked in government, I would ask people, hey, ask me any question. As long as they're seekers, I'll talk to them all day long. If they're troublemakers or trying to get in an argument, don't waste my time. That's just the way I roll, right? If you want an argument, go argue with somebody else. I'm, you know, my time's a little bit more valuable than that. And hopefully you make that distinction too. But here's the first thing that the Apostle Paul talks about. He's going to talk about faith and how faith is involved. He says, faith really excludes any thinking that we had something to do with salvation. This is important, because if you know that you really didn't have anything to do with salvation, you won't spend too much time trying to keep salvation. Right? He did it all. Now, as I've said before, my response is to what he did. But he did it. So I can get off that little treadmill of, you know, I just got to be good, continue to be good. No, I want to be good because of him, but not because that's what brought me into the kingdom. Being good didn't bring me into the kingdom. None of us came into the kingdom by being good, because none of us is good enough. We'll never be good enough. I don't care how many little ladies you walk across the street, right? You're still not going to be good enough. But that doesn't say you can just do what you want. But there has to be a response to what God did. And so the Apostle Paul, he's talking to the Jews as if the Jews were saying, well, you know, we're God's special people. And they are. Right? But he's like, well, that didn't get you into the kingdom. And sometimes we I think, inwardly have those arguments too. Like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. Right? Well, I've been good. I was raised in a Christian home. Great. Bravo. Praise Jesus. But that doesn't get you in either. Right? Whatever internal things that we say. I mean, I give money. I give my time. I'm good to people. I'm a good listener. I mean, I think internally there's all these things that we instinctively say that should get me in. No, none of those things will get you in. And so the Apostle Paul, that's what he's, it's almost as if somebody, raise this, right? And so the question, he says, where is boasting then? It says it is excluded. By what law? It says, by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. In other words, he's saying works have nothing to do, right, with your salvation. Is there works? Of course there is, because works will prove if something is genuine. That's how I can tell a believer from a non-believer. I can tell them. All I have to do is watch their life. Watch them long enough, and I can tell you. Right? See, it's one thing if someone's struggling. Whole different thing. Believer struggles, amen? Believers sometimes struggle. But it's the guy who sins and doesn't have a problem sinning. Chances are they're not saved. Because I tell you what, I used to be that way once. That's how I know how that feels like. Anybody else used to sin without a problem? There you go. No conscience? Good. I can't do that no more. See, because I've been born again. I've got the Spirit of God in me. I belong to Him now. Right? And so he says, so there's no boasting because you can't boast that I got in because I'm better than everybody. He says, no, it has to do about faith. And so we want to look at what is faith, right? Hebrews 11:1, one of the few places I think sometimes in Scripture, as a preacher, sometimes you read something in Scripture and you're like, okay, Lord, why didn't you define it? Why didn't you give me the definition? And here he gives you the definition of what faith is. It says, now faith is the substance, or you could say the reality. I think the word means something that undergirds it, under supports it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you're trusting God. Faith means a firm persuasion, a conviction, a belief in this truth, assurance, trust. You believe God, you trust God, even though you don't see it. Why do you believe in Him? Why you trust Him? Because of who He is. Because of who He is. You know, I have to, you know how I get myself to, I gotta really believe Him now because of what the Holy Book says, but then I review my life. I've been walking with Him for over 40 years, and you know what? He's never let me down once. Not once. Not once. Now, the other question I gotta ask, have I ever let Him down? And the answer is about 2 or 3 million times, right? You're ready to call me out, huh? What? But He's faithful. And Romans really what talks about that my unfaithfulness, it doesn't in any way detract from His faithfulness. He will always be faithful, even if I'm unfaithful. But you know what? Once again, that doesn't give me an excuse. I'm like, Lord, I want to be faithful. Holy Spirit, do whatever you need to do, because I want to be faithful just like You're faithful. I want to be holy just like You're holy. And part of that, I got to tell you, is just getting rid of stuff out of your life. I mean, I love what you shared, that we just let stuff distract us. And you know, the enemy, he doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to distract you with 50 hours of television or whatever. He doesn't, you know, I'm going to distract you by bringing drugs in your life or bringing alcohol. He doesn't do it that way. He knows all he has to do is just get us off just a little bit. Just a little bit. See, and then in time, we wake up one day and we're like, how did I get over here? How did I get over here? I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there before. Like, how did I get here? A little at a time. A little time. And you know how you get back here? You just repent. You just say, Lord, man, it's all me, Lord. It's me. Lord, I made a decision over here, and I was too proud to admit I was wrong. And so I repent. Lord, I'm wrong. It's all me. It's not You. You were warning me all along. And so I repent, and then I get back on the road, and here we are, brand spanking new. That's the way you do that. And so he's talking about, you know, faith is really you're persuaded that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. There has to be really an act that goes with the harmony of that. You know, it's like you have a sense that God wants to do something, and faith means I'm going to trust Him. Even if nobody else sees it, I'll give you for instance, and you've heard me say use this example, but it's a perfect example. When we started East River, I heard the Lord saying, "I will be your support." I heard the Lord said, "I will be your provider." Heard Him say that. So we decided. That's when we decided we're gonna have these boxes that people could give, that we would never pass a plate, that we wouldn't ask. Well, all the pastors around me, good guys. This is what they told me. They said, in 3 months, you'll be closing the doors. In 3 months, you'll be broke, right? Because you gotta pass the plate. And sometimes you gotta pass it 2 times. And sometimes you gotta lock the door and pass it 1 more time. You know? And I'm like, no, I heard the Lord. Now, what evidence did I have? Faith. That's all I had. We didn't even start at the church. We had no money. We didn't start with a denomination backing us. We had no money, nothing. Accept His word. You know what? That's enough. That's the substance. I had all that I needed. I didn't need a letter from a denomination saying we're going to be given. I had His Word. That's plenty. That is a lot. Who said a lot? Good answer. Good answer, Angel. And that's all I needed. And you know what? God has been so faithful. In fact, this is how crazy it is. Pastors now say, they said, there's an anointing on you for finances. I'm like, what? There's no such thing, right? God has been faithful. That's the answer. God has been faithful. And so when you hear Him speak to you through His Word, you have to say, God, You're faithful. I don't have the evidence, and I don't care if everybody around me is telling me otherwise. I'm going to believe You. But you got to understand, if you're going to believe Him, it may be a while. There might be challenges. There might be a testing of your faith. But you got to hang on. You got to hang on. It looks like this boat's going down, Lord. Right? I got a mortgage payment coming, Lord. But guess what? He has been faithful. Never missed a payment. Never been late on nothing. God has been. I call him now the God of more than enough. Right? That's who He is. So faith really acts in harmony with what we sense God intends to do. So, and Pam will tell you, there's times when things are a little low, I'm thinking, maybe we should pass the plate. Can I admit I have doubts too now and then? Can I admit that? You know, I'm not supposed to because I'm a pastor, but I'll admit, even I get shaky. Maybe we should. And I praise the Lord that I have a wife that says, what did the Lord tell you? May you find a wife or a husband that reminds you what the Lord tells you. And so we don't pass a plate. And every time, how many times? Every time, right? Woman tells me, what did God say? Oh, okay, you're right. We're not going to pass a plate. That weekend, I don't know what happens, but that weekend, kaboom, it explodes financially. I'm like, was there like a rich guy that showed up? That no? I mean, no, God provides. I don't know how He provides, but He provides. He provides to you and you pass it on, I guess, right? But God is good that way. So you got to hang on. You got to hang on. I know next time she's going to remind me, remember what you said in your sermon? And she reminds me, and I'm like, no, I don't remember that. Yeah, when she gets out the app. Here, let me play it back for you. So faith really is based on who God is and what He said. That's what you base faith on, not in anything else. Right? My God, You're good, and You've always been good, and You've never let me down. You'll never let us down. Good enough for me. Good enough for me. But sometimes people try to base faith and trust in God or even salvation in different things. You know, when it comes to salvation, I look at it this way. I didn't acquit myself. I wasn't acquitted because of what I did. It was because of what Jesus did. And I never forget that. You know, somebody, I remember hearing this, I don't know if it was a pastor or a TED Talk or something. And I don't know that it applies, but I wanted to use this illustration. It's somehow I can see it in here, and that helps me understand of what I'm actually seeing out here, even though there's no evidence. So I'm going to use an illustration somebody used, and I don't know if it will apply, but I've been wanting to use this illustration for about 2 years. And this person, I can't remember if it was preacher or TED Talk guy, but he's trying to talk, and maybe I'm talking about discernment a little bit too. But he says, suppose you're walking and you see this post, and on top of this post is a turtle. He goes, what does that tell you? You're like, it tells you that somebody what? Put it there. See, that's the way salvation is to me. I'm a turtle on the post. He put me there. So why would I then think, you know what? I think I'm going to climb this post. No! See, when I fall down off the post, and we do from time to time, guess what? He picks me up and puts me on the post. Was it a good illustration? Yeah. Oh, okay, good. I wanted to use that for a while. And so the Apostle Paul said, man, there's no boasting in anything, man. See, and sometimes we want to boast. The word boast, really in the original language takes, you know, look at me, kind of. You know, it's lifting up your glory. Look at me. Look what I did. And regardless of what man's accomplishments are, and there's a, you know, we've gone to the moon. We've sent a machine to Mars. We've gone to the moon. We've sent a machine to Mars. We still don't have drive-thrus in Haiti. So, you know, we can't brag too much. You're like, what's he talking about? You need to go to Haiti. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we have man accomplishments in science, arts, technology, you know, medical field, finance, construction, all those. You know why we can't boast? Because where does man's ability come from? It comes from God. That's why man even has the ability. It came from God. For some of you that are stinking smart, you didn't make yourself stinking smart. He made you stink. You just came out of the womb smart. Those of you that are artistic, how many of you are artistic? Raise your hand if you're artistic. Raise your hand if you're artistic. Okay? I hate you. when they were giving the artistic gene or whatever, I didn't get it. You think I'm joking? Ask me after service to draw you a stick man. You're like, what? That's a stick man? I mean, that's how bad it is. I just don't have it. But even those of you that are good at art or very artistic, God put that in you. God put that in you. Amen? So he sent faith, right? Faith as regarding salvation. He says, really, there's no boasting. Whether you're a Jew who was given the law or anything, there's no boasting at all. You didn't get yourself there. Second thing about faith, he's talking about, really, faith justifies a man apart from works. He goes on, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, once again, he says, by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. You were acquitted of the charges based on faith. And really, that explains Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3, you can just write it down, read it tonight. He goes around and he's talking about all these things. I mean, he's talking about, man, I went to Harvard. I was a top student in Harvard. I was a student of the top professor in Harvard. I mean, I was, you know, a top lawyer. In fact, I was in the best law firm. Right? And you know what he says? He says, I count that rubbish. What? Rubbish. Why? Because you know none of that stuff matters. He didn't find salvation because of any of those things. Although being part of the Pharisaic group, I mean, they thought, yeah, that's we're not like the rest of the riffraff. We're Pharisees. We have a special place with God because look at us. And he, when he met Jesus, he realized, oh my gosh, none of that really matters. None of that really matters. Which to you and me, that's good news. I think it, because I'm thinking, I didn't go to Harvard. I wasn't the top student. I didn't have the top professor. Something, that's good news. Because then there's a chance for me. The chance for me. But the Jews, you know, their big thing was the law, right? Well, we got to keep the law. But he's saying, no, you're justified by faith. It's always been that way. In fact, in the next chapter, he's going to talk about Abraham. That's the way Abraham got in. Not keeping the law, all these laws, right? Not that the laws didn't have a purpose, they do. In fact, look at Galatians 3:24. So he's once again answering to them. They have this religious system that they didn't got them in. And it didn't. Galatians 3:24 says, therefore the law was our what? Tutor. Right? It was teaching us stuff. What was the purpose? Really, and the word, the original word is not just a tutor and you're teaching someone, but really a tutor was someone that oversaw you. Like part nanny, part instructor, those kind of things, right? So the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. In other words, he's saying this, the law, the reason for the law was to lead you into that place. That's, you know, that you're like, man, I can't keep the law. Good. Now, you know, you can't save yourself. The law has a purpose, though. It kept boundaries. You know what would happen in America if all of a sudden you lifted the law and said, you know what, it's crazy what's going on in our country, but say we lifted the law that says that, you know, no such thing as murder anymore. Let's get rid of the law of murder. What would happen overnight? Yeah, I'm ready, right? Because all heck would break loose overnight. Because there's no law. Law protects. Law is a restraining thing. Right? And that's what he said. The law was given for several purposes. One, that it's a restraining influence. So you can't throw out the law. Right? But also, it was to teach you that, man, I can't keep the law. Because I'm corrupt. I can't keep the law. That's why the police officer gives you a ticket every now and then when you're speeding. You know why? Because he wants to help you, what? Keep the law. Not because he hates you. I'll prove it. How many of you have been stopped by police and didn't get a ticket? Raise your hand. Look around. See? Cops like you guys. But now and then, now maybe I should say, how many of you got a ticket? No. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. But it's a way to just remind you, hey. And that's really what the law was, to say, Lord, I can't do this myself. Good. I will do it based on faith. We got to believe him. Right? Ephesians 2:8-9, a verse that you'll learn in OSL. For by grace, right? Not works. For by grace you've been saved. What? Through faith, right? Not of yourself. Doesn't come with you. It is a gift of God, not of works, that anyone should boast. So he said, it was the Lord that began to do that work in you. Right? I think even the ability to see came from him. I mean, the what I would call the initial faith came from him. That's why I pray when a group like this comes, I said, Lord, begin to speak somebody. That maybe they were blind as a post when they came in here, that because they're here, they begin to see. Oh my gosh. See, when the gospel was given to me, it's like blinders came off. Wow. I was blind yesterday, but somehow I'm beginning to see that this is real. Okay. So faith is not about, you know, faith excludes works. Regarding, we don't get to heaven by works, neither did the Jews, right? Goes on, faith justifies a man apart from works. It's all about faith. The third one, faith reveals that it's one God who makes only one way. One of the other things that the Apostle Paul had to deal with, because the Jews would say, well, yeah, but we're followers of Yahweh, which is good. We're followers of Yahweh too. We're followers of Yahweh. But he's going to tell him Yahweh's plan. If you're a follower of Yahweh, then you must be a follower of Yahweh's plan. And let me tell you about Yahweh's plan. So verse 29. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Because that's the way the Jews felt. Man, he's our God. And yet, as a Gentile, non-Jew, you could become a Jew. Right? Yet, what they call proselytes, right? He says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? That would be talking to you and I. Yes, the God of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God, Yahweh, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. He goes, it's the same program. Everybody from Abraham, right, on down, it was about faith. And that hasn't changed. It's about faith. That's why when people say, you know, when I look at the Old Testament, I mean, you have believers and non-believers talk stupid stuff like this. You know, well, when I look in the Old Testament, I see a God of anger. That's why you can't rely on the Old Testament. But then in the New Testament, oh, the God of love. I'm like, what are you reading? You're not understanding what he's doing all through. When I read the Old Testament, I just see love. I see love because I know that he sends prophet after prophet after prophet to warn the nation. The very nation that he began, the very nation that he loved and he protected, go chasing harlots, go chasing false gods. In fact, they pollute the land by sacrificing false gods. You would walk through the land, and in every hill, you would see altars to false gods. And I'm thinking, if I'm God, man, I would have smoked them right then and there. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's why you and I aren't God. We're dangerous. If we were God, we'd be the only one left. But what people sometimes don't get in the Bible, literally, for hundreds of years, he's really being patient with them. I'm like, man, Lord, that says to me love. And I'm grateful that he's patient with me. Aren't you grateful that he's patient with you? I am. I'm like, but Lord, I'm going to get it right one day. Help me get it right one day. And I'm getting more right now than I used to. Amen? Amen. So God created everybody, it says, right? One race, one, you know, all the nations, they come from him. And so it's this one God, it's his plan to make man right with himself by faith, equally, whether you're a circumcised or uncircumcised, if you're Jew or non-Jew, there's one way you come in, and that's that way is Jesus, right? That way is Jesus. Which the Jews were like, whoa. And that's his plan from the very beginning. They just missed it. And sometimes, you know what? We in church, we have to, you know, always be looking outwardly. You know, we had some people go and in our community and just share the gospel with people, love on people. You know what? We need to do that every day. See, because sometimes as believers, we get in here and we're like, okay, we're in. We're in. And then we forget about everybody else. And so in many ways, the Jews had done the same thing. We're like, well, we have a special relationship with God. Yeah, but the reason, if you go back and you reason, the reason that the Lord had even raised up the nation was to really be an example to the rest of the world that, you know what, Yahweh takes good care of his people. So they were supposed to be an example, but then they're like, whoa, we're in, yes. The heck with everybody else. No. My pastor used to say, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where he found you. Don't forget that it's he who cleaned you up. And so go out there and help others too. Amen? Help others. Because they need to know Yahweh too. Acts 17:26. Got one more point after this one. Acts 17:26. Says, he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. You know, now that people are doing their DNA testing, they're beginning to realize this. And the Bible forever. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times, right? Talking about nations, rising them up and bringing them down, and the boundaries of their dwelling. Heard me say it, and I'll say it again. The only reason that the United States exists is because God said so. And we'll only exist as long as he tells us. He can say tomorrow, you know what? You guys have polluted the land enough. You will not, guess what? Your time is done. And our time will be done. So, but yet he gives us the time to repent. He's a patient God. He gives us the time to repent. So when I pray, I repent on behalf of our nation because I'm part of it. I repent. You know, it's easy as believers. You read online. You're like, oh my gosh, how? No, you're part of that same nation. So I repent. Like that's what a prophet does. A prophet repents on behalf of the people, and that's a good way, I think, as a believer. Here's the last thing. Faith upholds and establishes the law. Because here's then, they're like, so Paul, you're saying the law's, why were we keeping the law? You mean the world law's no good, you know? And sometimes people say, well, it's like God got it wrong. No, he got it right. I even hear that argument, well, somehow God got the Old Testament wrong and now he got it right with Jesus. That's dumb. Do you know what you're saying? You're saying God is not God if he gets it wrong. Do you want to follow God that gets it wrong? No. But then people say stuff that I'm like, and apparently one of these Jewish guys was like, whoa. Verse 31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? No, we have faith. Does that mean we're like, that was a mistake? All this we did was a mistake? And he says what? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. We establish the law. What he's saying is this, we really give credence that God's plan is the right plan from the very beginning. We establish it. We confirm it, as it were. We confirm it. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. In other words, there was requirements of the law. There were certain requirements. And he came to fulfill those requirements because you and I couldn't. But he said, I didn't come to destroy it. I didn't come to say, you know what, I got it wrong, so we're going to get rid of that. If that were the case, I'd tell you, tear out the Old Testament from your Bible. If that were the case, it's like, okay, you know, guess what? I shrunk it up a little bit. No, that's not what he's saying, right? That's another sermon. Yeah. But Jesus fulfilled really what the law required. The law required that there had to be a penalty paid for sin. He paid it. Again, confirm fulfilled with the Old Testament sin. The law should have shown the people their inability to keep the law. But we can keep the law. Remember, Jesus said, in Jeremiah, part of the new covenant is I'm going to put my law where? In the hearts. He says, you're going to be different. You're going to wake up and you say, Lord, I want to do good. See, if you want to do good, you don't need the law. You don't need the, okay, what am I, you know? No. You wake up and you say, you know what? I'm just going to love people today. I'm just going to encourage people. You know? You don't need a law. You don't need someone to restrict you. And so the law, really, the statutes were to show them the inability to keep the law and they needed Jesus. And then the final thing, really, it was the Holy Spirit that would come and give them the capacity to live that life. You and I cannot live this life apart from the Holy Spirit. Don't try to live this life on the flesh. You won't make it. You won't make it. You know, a lot of things that we talked about breathe up, we sang that song about breathe on. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that breathes in me. When I'm a stinker, I got to go to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, and guess what? He changes something in me, right? So I want to finish with this. You guys ready? I want to ask you, how are you doing, you and the Lord, right now? Where are you at, you and the Lord, your faith? Is there some business you need to do with the Lord? Or would you say, you know, I've been trying to kind of earn my way up there. I'm trying to just be good because I think somehow that's going to give me some points with the Lord. If so, I bet you you're getting tired. You're probably getting tired. You're to emulate Jesus, but you don't do it on your own power. You do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. What helps me, and you heard me say it last week, I live as if it's possible to pay him back, even though it's not possible. But I do it because I'm like, Lord, you're so good to me. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve anything you've done for me. I don't deserve that you came and you introduced yourself to me. I don't even deserve that. And yet you did that and you sent Jesus for me. Lord, I want to live for you in such a way that I'm paying you back. Anybody else want to join me? Amen. Everybody up.